Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
When it comes to a thriving career, everyone could use a little support, especially when it comes to transitions. At LHH, we're committed to personalized support, insights, and resources that lead to more job opportunities. No matter what role a professional has in your organization, our services offer an experience that fits each individual. And for organizations, LHH provides consultative support and guidance through the entire outplacement or career transition process. It's outplacement reimagined. Visit LHHtalent.com. Today.
I'm not ready. I thought the governor was speaking first. It's the John and Ken show. John Cobalt and Ken Champeau. KFI AM 640 live everywhere.
Okay, now we're going to go to the governor.
All right, where he is.
A word you may have received regarding Flex Alert that was recently put out, something very familiar to many of us here in California and increasingly all across the Western United States. Let me begin, though, by trying to contextualize the moment we're living in. For years and years and years, and I would put this in global terms, we, all of us, have been trying to outrun Mother Nature. But it's pretty clear that Mother Nature has outrun us. The reality is we're living in an era of extremes, extreme heat, extreme drought, and with the flooding that we're experiencing around the globe, just ask folks in Missouri, in Kentucky, or in Pakistan, the extreme floods as a consequence of Mother Nature's fury. The hots are getting a lot hotter. The dries are getting a lot drier. We're living, again, in an age of extremes. I don't have to explain that to anybody living here, in particular in California. The drought, 7 of the last 10 years that we have experienced, is self-evident. The challenges now that present themselves anew across the Western United States as we try to grapple with water deliveries that we've come accustomed to for generations in the Colorado River only punctuate the new reality. Just ask folks, I was taking a look the other day of what was going on in Europe and what's going on in the Rhine River basin, and the fact these larger rivers are no longer navigable. The Yangtze River in China. Look what's happening in China as it relates to the extreme heat and the extreme weather. Challenges faced even in other parts of this country, notably Texas last year, and the tragic loss of hundreds of lives associated with blackouts and grid reliability. That's been expressed, I think, by 3 emergency proclamations in Texas over the last number of months, expressing itself in extreme terms. So that's the world we're living in. None of that, again, necessarily surprises any of you. The question is, what are we going to do about it? How can we maintain our resilient mindset? How can we work our way through these things? And how can we thrive, not just survive, in an era of such extremes? And that's the purpose of today's briefing. I wanted to update you on where we are and where we're going. But one thing I don't need to remind you of as you walk out your door today on your way to work, how hot it's gotten. Take a look at your five-day forecast. We are looking at yet another heat dome. Another heat wave is often referred to here in the western United States and notably here in California. Between now and next Wednesday, we're going to be experiencing a prolonged heat moment. We're going to have opportunity now in the next number of days to experience, many of us, what many have not experienced back to back to back to back to back, and that's triple digit weather. I was taking a look as I was walking in at how hot it was in one part of California, Death Valley. They will look to experience in the next hour or two 120 degree temperatures, projected to be as high as 122 in California and Death Valley tomorrow. We are anticipating this extreme heat to be a length and duration the likes of which we haven't experienced in some time. Yes, we're used to record-breaking temperatures, maybe a day or two more episodic, but this is an extended period. And as a consequence, it's going to require us to extend our thinking and our imagination in terms of working together to keep people healthy. And I want to talk about that, keep people safe. And to make sure that we are working to address our energy needs and energy reliability. Because at the end of the day, Mother Nature has presented itself in this context. Energy reliability becomes more and more challenging. Energy reliability becomes more and more stressed because demand increases. At the same time, supply decreases. Let me be more specific. We've talked often about the drought here in the state of California. Last year, we experienced something related to the drought we had never experienced in the history of this state. One of our largest sources of hydroelectricity in the state of California, the Oroville Dam, the Hyatt Power Plant, had to be shut down, first time in history. That's a 925-megawatt system. We lost about 600-plus megawatts just from shutting down that hydroelectric source. As a consequence, not only of that example last year, we see other examples where hydroelectricity is not as reliable as a consequence of this drought and the lower reservoirs we're seeing across the western United States and certainly here in California. So we're losing megawatts. Mega drought means less megawatts. So on a supply side, we're challenged by these extremes. And on a demand side, not surprisingly, people are turning up the AC. People understandably are trying to escape the heat. And so we have to address that twin challenge anew. And that's why you heard about perhaps that flex alert that was put out earlier today by the ISO, which is the California Independent System Operator. Something just fancy way of saying those are the folks that, well, keep the lights on. And the flex alert just asks you if you can do a little bit more. We voluntarily ask you to do a little bit more to help us get through the next week or so, to turn, interestingly, up a little bit the thermostat at home to 78 degrees. Try to pre-cool earlier in the day the home. Try not to use too much electricity in those key hours. And the key hours are between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. In the evening. Try to reduce your consumption to the extent possible. If you're not home, it's a holiday weekend, Labor Day weekend, and you're out enjoying yourself, we encourage you, before you leave home, if you can turn those thermostats up to 85 degrees. That would also help reduce demand, particularly with so many of the automatic thermostats that we all have and enjoy. We want to make sure, again, we're not using unnecessarily and consuming unnecessarily too much electricity. So Flex Alert's just an opportunity to elevate a consciousness for all of us to prepare to enter into this week and to work our way through what will be perhaps the most challenging 2 days, and that's Sunday and Monday, this coming Sunday and Monday, where we are anticipating, based on current projections, this will change on a daily basis, a little over 48,000, as much as 48,200, 48,500 megawatts of consumption. Now, if you're like me, that means everything and nothing. It just means the highest needs in terms of consumption year to date. And it puts us in a position where we have some vulnerabilities. And that means we need to do things a little bit differently, not just on the demand side to meet that potential peak, particularly coming into this weekend, Sunday and Monday, but also on the supply side. And that's why just a few moments ago, I signed an executive order, something very familiar to all of us here in California. We did it last year and the year before, as I said, many other states offering similar approach to allow us a little bit more flexibility across the spectrum in terms of procuring supply at the same time to prepare. So demand response, try to get the reduction that you're accustomed to and have been so successful at in the past, and address the supply needs by creating some more flexibility pursuant to this emergency order that would allow us to diversify our sources and allow, for example, some short-term mitigation in terms of consumption along our ports. A good example of that would be a lot of ships that are along our ports. If they can keep their engines on as opposed to using shoreside power, that would reduce demand on the entire grid. We've been working with businesses in our industrial sector who've been incredible partners in the past to work to reduce their demand and as well in the next coming days, and we'll continue to work closely with them as they work our way through this. You know, briefly, I just want to go back. I don't want to take up too much more of your time and go back to August of 2020. You may recall that was a challenging period. A lot of what you're hearing me say today was said in August of 2020. We had some short-term challenges. We had a few minutes there where we had to make some very difficult decision, and it required us to think completely differently. And we did a root cause analysis of what led to some of those short-term issues in August of 2020. And it led us to take a look across a spectrum. Number one, how can we coordinate a lot better with the ISO, the Independent System Operator, and our other members of our regulatory agencies and energy agencies, from the CPUC, the California Public Utilities Commission, the CEC, which is the California Energy Commission, to make sure that we're more collaborative in terms of our approach, again, both on procurement, demand side, supply side, and the like. We have since taken, since July, in fact, of August 2020, 161 actions. We have initiated or completed 161 projects and procured an unprecedented number of megawatts for this state. So much so that we broke records last year in terms of total procurement. Some 11,500 megawatts were procured. Recently, working collaboratively with the legislature, we were able to break through another huge issue that was facing us, and that was addressing the issue of time to project delivery. Now, you've all heard, particularly in this room, the challenges we've had as it relates to the pandemic and the impact that's had on supply chain and issues related to tariffs and the like. And, you know, at the end of the day, you don't want to hear me talk more about that. What are we going to do about that? We've had to work around that. And one of the significant action items that we took this year in particular as part of the after-action report and the recommendations that were made as it relates to the impacts of August 2020 was changing our procurement strategies, meaning our permitting to get these projects, these renewable projects, moving. And we've had a lot of success in that space. We were able to actually get the language. We were able to actually get an effort that moves the permitting to a maximum of 270 days, basically trying to create certainty in a process that, no exaggeration, in the past has taken upwards of 6 years, which is ridiculous and unacceptable, particularly in the world we're living in. So this notion of changing permitting, changing the processing to get these projects up. We took to heart as part of our root cause analysis and that after action report, and working with the legislature, we were able to move in a meaningful and historic way. Accordingly, we recognized that we needed to do more in terms of de-risking our transition to green energy. And don't think for a second, I'll talk more about that in a moment, that we are not doing anything except accelerating. I mentioned what we're doing on permitting and procurement, accelerating that transition to low carbon, renewable sources of energy. But one of the areas we wanted to advance was a de-risking strategy to create a larger buffer so that we're not doing this on an annual basis. And we worked with the legislature, and we were able to move through just in June. This was a process, took about 6 months working through the budget process to get $4.2 billion to move an effort to be able to put together a capacity to break glass on some 4,000 or so megawatts. Interestingly and importantly, in relationship to the moment we're in, that was done in June. Already, we've been able to.
All right, why don't we fade out of this? Because honestly, I don't know what he's talking about. That was a load. That was a big load there. That's Gavin Newsom. The California government is now scrambling because we're going to have a bad heat wave. It's going to go on for a week, and we don't have the energy to cover this heat wave. So it's the governor begging you not to use too much electricity. That's what it is, because his administration and the previous administrations have botched the long-term energy plan. They don't have the supply. They did not build the infrastructure to deal with a state of 39 million people. Droughts have happened forever in California. I think I told you that you go back to the area, let's see, would be from about 850, the year 850 to the year 1040. And that was about a 200-year drought in California, 200 years. It was followed by 50 years of rain, and then that was followed by 240 years of more drought. So you had, in less than a 500-year period, 400 years worth of drought. 400 years worth of drought. 20-year droughts are even more common, obviously. So the idea that we've had a drought that's lasted a few years is entirely normal. Now, if you're the governor of the state, if you're a legislature, I don't care what party you're from, you plan for this, especially when you're constantly inviting new people to move in, like immigrants, because everybody who comes in here is going to use more power. So these kind of things should have been decided years ago. We've had mostly Democratic rule for the last 25 years, and I'm sure they could have built nuclear power plants, they could have built natural gas plants, they could have built coal plants to meet the electricity needs. They're always doing evaluations on how life is going to change in the future. They bet the farm on wind and solar, and that will go down in history as a big miss. It already is. We tell you this, and people get irritated because it's not politically correct. It is going against the grain, but there is no actual factual response. You could say, well, that makes me uncomfortable when you say that. That's not what people are thinking. That's not what people want. Fine. It's not what people want. They don't want gas-powered plants, and they don't want to burn oil and coal and all that. However, relying on wind and solar in a state the size of California is clearly a losing proposition. They're not getting enough power from wind and solar, and you cannot store the energy it creates. So when the wind dies down and the sun sets, you're out of luck. At least a nuclear plant and natural gas plants or coal plants, they can run constantly. If you notice, the only other state that has this problem is Texas, because despite Texas' reputation for its politics, it made the same dumb mistake some years ago and bet heavily on wind and solar. And other forms of energy were not developed or closed or dismantled or slowed down. They made the same mistake. So the two biggest states who require the most energy stupidly decided to bet the farm on wind and solar, the two most unreliable sources. The other 48 states, I looked today, I can't find anybody else having a problem. The other 48 states are largely relying on traditional energy sources. You simply can't have it both ways. You can't be new and cool and trendy and planet friendly and also supply enough energy for 39 million people. Cannot do it. And what you hear with Newsom, I can't remember the last time he took over the media for 20 minutes. I just simply cannot remember maybe a couple of those COVID press conferences, but nobody really paid attention to that. This is, and now the irony of ironies, and we're going to get this into great detail coming up after the 2:30 news, is they announced this week that you shouldn't be charging your car, if it's electric, between 4 p.m. and 9 p.m. because demand for electricity remains high. So starting on Wednesday, today, and running until Tuesday, residents are asked not to charge their electric vehicles between those hours. Now, you may remember just last week, Newsom announced that they were going to ban the sale of gas-powered cars in the state as of 2035, and that dealerships and manufacturers are going to be required to sell 35% of their fleet as electric cars. So they're mandating, or they're trying to mandate, electric cars for sale. And then they're telling the customers who buy them, well, you can't charge them from 4 until 9. Now, that's preposterous. When you pay the kind of taxes we pay in California, I think everybody should demand and expect that the major needs of modern life be met right off the top, right? So first thing you fund is electrical generation, water generation. You start with that. Protection from the police, educational system. You could save all your social justice, equity, diversity programs for another day. But the hardware has to be funded first. The infrastructure has to be funded first. They have not done so. It's been a colossal botch. It's been decades of bad governing, and Newsom has just made it more extreme. And if you notice, I was sitting here listening. I tried to listen to him closely, which is really difficult. But he's decided, basically they're blaming the weather, and the weather is not unusual. I figured out first couple of years I moved here that, wow, September's the hottest month of the year, and we're almost in September. It's late August, September, early October. That's the hot months. Different than the East Coast. East Coast, it's July up till mid-August. By Labor Day, you often start getting a whiff of autumn. But here, it is intense, dry, desert heat. And that's happened almost every year that I can remember without fail. You can mark it on the calendar. So the heat wave we're having is not abnormal. It is entirely the way the planet works. We get the big heat bubble coming here. End of August, early September, and it lasts for several weeks. And he's also basically blaming you. It's like, you have to use less energy. It's like, whoa, buddy, you're supposed to supply the energy. And this is what's been lost here. Their responsibility is to supply the energy. He has failed. The legislature has failed. The people who run our energy systems have failed. And they're going to be failing over the next week. And he must be really nervous, because not that he's in danger of not being reelected, but remember, he wants to be President Newsom. And he can't afford the big blotch of a blackout because he so badly mismanaged our state's energy system. And that's what it is. It doesn't matter what he says, what all the sycophants in the media say, what all the toadies in the legislature say, this is his botch. It is the legislature's botch. They're about to close a nuclear power plant. And just in the last couple of weeks, they issued an emergency, and they're going to try to keep it open for another 10 years. There were three more natural gas plants that were going to be shut down by now. At the last minute, I believe last year, he extended the life of those three natural gas plants. Why is he doing this? Oh, last year, they stole a significant amount of electricity that was headed from the Pacific Northwest to Arizona. It was running down transmission lines that cut through California. Arizona had already paid for it. We intercepted it and used it. We stole it from Arizona. True. So we're extending a nuclear power plant that he wanted to close. We're extending natural gas plants, three of them that he wanted to close. We stole energy from Arizona. He stole it because we don't have a system that can handle hot summer days. And then he's acting like, well, this is unprecedented. It is not unprecedented. Imagine Governor Newsom during the 200-year drought from, the year 1040 to 1240. What's that? What would Governor? Why do you think the native tribes moved around so much? Because at times areas in California became uninhabitable, and you had to move because there was no water. And when there's no water, you don't even have animals that you can eat. Everybody clears out. And so the people cleared out along with the animals. That's part of the normal patterns of the planet. But he knows that most people don't know this stuff. So he knows he can fill people's empty heads with any kind of nonsense, and they're all going to nod along because they're members of his tribe. And so they want to signal their obedience. But the flex alert is happening because Newsom and the legislature and Jerry Brown and Schwarzenegger and you name it for 25 years have badly mismanaged the state. Again, there's only one other state in crisis, the largely Republican-run state of Texas, and they made the same mistake. They over-relied on wind and solar that are not reliable, and both California and Texas are in a pickle here. Not the 48 other states. The water restrictions, which began for many cities in LA County. So the two things we absolutely must have, the electricity and the water, are being rationed with threats of it being cut off. Is he still talking?
I think he's done.
He actually stopped.
No, he is. Oh, he's
all part of, again, a $648 million wildfire package.
Don't you feel like you've gone insane?
That adds to the forest resilience work that
we
referred to in the previous slides. The emergency response will continue to do more real-time intelligence.
John and Ken Show, KFI. Due to a technical malfunction, the last Gavin Newsom clip was not the extension of his original speech. It was a different speech. Apparently, we were getting a feed off YouTube. Newsom did come to the end, but YouTube cycled into another speech, which sounded like the first one. So Deborah Mark was correct that he was done speaking.
Why, thank you, John.
All right. And, I mean, if you want to rat out Eric, you can do that yourself.
No, it's all good.
I'm trying to get along with everybody.
It's all good. Eric has a heart of gold, and he didn't know. And it gets very confusing, these YouTube videos.
Right. Well, I mean, you heard one Newsom drone. You've heard them all. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we're going to do more on this. We're going to talk with, who are we talking to? I've got it in front of me. Hang on. I'll find it.
What does Ken call you? Mr. Magoo?
Yes. About 30 years ago. Catherine Rehise Boyd is going to be with us. She has served as president of the Western States Petroleum Association. And she oversees the oil and gas industry's operations and advocacy here in the West to talk about Newsom, the flex alert, being told you cannot plug in your electric car between 4 and 9 o'clock just a few days after they said there will be a mandate that you can only buy electric cars here in California by 2035. So obviously there's a huge discrepancy there, to say the least. So we'll get to that with her after 3 o'clock. Now, one of the other stories we're watching, but we're getting no information on, as far as I know, is the bill that would bring back zero bail. And we've done a lot on this story this week. Zero bail was brought to us by one of the biggest blowhards in the legislature, Bob Hertzberg, a Democrat out of San Fernando Valley, Van Nuys. And he has a real act where he gets all self-righteous and angry and claims that no bail for criminals actually lowers the crime rate, which, of course, it does no such thing. As we told you yesterday, the Yolo County district attorney announced this week that's of the people let out on zero bail, 70% were arrested shortly thereafter for a crime. So it, I believe logic would tell you that. I don't think you have to look at statistics to know that if you let arrestees out immediately and they learn there's no consequences, they'll commit more crimes because that's what these people do. They're bad people. Bad people really exist. So then there was a ballot proposition on zero bail, and zero bail lost badly. Hertzberg had withdrawn his bill last year because there was a terrible murder up in the Sacramento area at the time that he was submitting the bill, and it involved somebody who'd stolen a car, a guy who stole a car, transient, Troy Davis. And after getting arrested for the car theft, then he was let go on zero bail. It was a COVID deal at the time. And then he went out and raped and murdered a 61-year-old woman, Kate Tibbetts, also killed her dogs and burned her house. So Hertzberg realized the climate really wasn't too good to try to sell zero bail. A lot of the Democratic legislators actually jumped ship. Isn't that what you need? You actually have to have a woman who's raped and brutally murdered and her dogs murdered for Bob Hertzberg to temporarily back off. And then when the voters punched him in the nose with the ballot initiative, still didn't get the message. He tried to bring it back on the sneak this week. And today's supposed to be the deadline for them to vote on it. And I assume up until this moment, he hasn't been able to get the votes. Otherwise, they would have passed it. They've passed it. So they passed a few other turds in the last few days, some of which Newsom is probably going to veto. But this one is still hanging out there. And I have been looking everywhere that I can, and I can't find any word on it. So he may still have holdouts that he's trying to cajole or trying to do a deal with. I don't know. But it's got to happen by the close of business today. And if it doesn't happen, then it's dead for the rest of the year at least. And he's out of the legislature, but I'm sure there's some other boob that's going to pick up the baton on this one. And remember, Hertzberg is running for L.A. County Supervisor to replace Sheila Kuehl, of all people. It's just amazing. You talk about one of the worst local politicians, one of the worst county supervisors, it's Sheila Kuehl, and she could get replaced by one of the worst representatives, State Senator Bob Hertzberg. I mean, there's just absolutely nothing. If you remember, Kuehl's, one of her late sins was shutting down outdoor dining at restaurants in November of 2021, just as Thanksgiving was about to hit. I think they did this on a few days before Thanksgiving. And before the closures took effect the next day, she ran out to an outdoor restaurant, had one last meal in Santa Monica, and was caught. But she had already, I believe she was might have been the decisive vote in banning outdoor dining, which lasted throughout the Thanksgiving Christmas season. Cost businesses a ton of money. God knows how many businesses went out of business, how many restaurants because of what she did. Well, she's finally termed out, 80 years old, so she's done. And here comes Hertzberg, potentially to replace her. He's got an opponent, somebody used to be a politician in West Hollywood. So I don't know that woman very much. I'm not sure she's any better. But Hertzberg is trying to let felons out on zero bail. That should be unforgivable, don't you think? Am I crazy? I really feel like I'm going crazy. I go through these stories every day, and every day I start feeling, well, maybe it's me. Maybe I'm misreading this stuff. Maybe I'm wrong about all this. It's really hard to keep your sanity. So we'll be on top of this. It's Senate Bill 262. If you have not called any of your legislators about this, this is one of those curious pieces of legislation. Usually they're impervious to criticism. But you get them today when it's a last-minute deal and it's just two and a half months until Election Day, and this is hanging in the balance. It's very controversial. You know, maybe they decide, I don't need that headache this year, all right? I don't want to run with that in the air. I don't want to vote for zero bail, and then tomorrow another zero bail beneficiary kills a young girl somewhere. I'd rather not deal with this for the current election cycle. So you could have some influence by calling up Hertzberg or any of these other characters in the state Senate. All right, so coming up, we're going to talk with Catherine Rehise-Boyd, and she's been the president of the Western States Petroleum Association, and we are going to talk about the Flex Alert from the independent system operator that runs the electrical grid and how they're begging us to cut down our electricity between 4 and 9 o'clock because they're running out again. And if we don't play ball, then they're going to give us blackouts. So Newsom blackouts. He's so scared. He gave a long speech at 2 o'clock trying to cajole everybody because President Newsom can't run on California blackouts. John and Ken Show. Deborah Mark has the news. KFI AM 640. It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
Let me just run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.